5 through 7. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 7. And let's all say it together. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. Okay? Very good. We are going to take the next step this morning. The next step, what could that be? Where are we going? We are going to where God wants us to be. We are... we're going to go to where most of us have never gone before. Because most of us have depended upon ourselves to be where we are today spiritually. Now, I know you were born again by the Holy Spirit of God, and at that time you were born again. And for many of us, there was no necessarily discipling as such. We just sort of hit out on our own, trying to figure out how God wanted us to do things and what things He wanted us to do, and we tried to do them. And some of us, we were sometimes successful, and there's been times for all of us, myself included, where we have not been successful. Maybe we've argued with somebody, or we've had a disagreement that sometimes goes on for a long time, and that's not necessarily what God wants. The whole goal is for us as Christians, just like Tim is teaching in the book of James, is to mature. Be mature in the Lord. And you and I cannot do that. No matter how hard we try, we can't do that. So we have to decide and figure out, how do we become mature without having a part in it? And so that's what we're going to be working on for the next several weeks. And to begin, we're going to begin a couple verses ahead of our memory verses that we're working on. We're going to start 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. Let me read those. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye, that's you and I, might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know, many Christians fail because they attempt to do what God says to do in their own power. You and I would try a few times and we fail. We fail. And so after a few times we think, well, you know, I can't do this. And you're right, you can't. And you know, there's an excuse that some people seize upon, and I know every one of you have not only heard this, but it may have crossed your lips. Well, I'm only human. That's right. You are. But, there's an answer to that. And I would like to show you that answer. It comes, we have to go back. All of the Bible, people, every single word in the Bible, every single book, they fit together. You get into the New Testament and man, it is just one big lump. But it's real. And what God says we can do, we can do. And what God asks us to do is not impossible. He would never ask us to do something. Now, not impossible. But, you know, you men, there are times your wives ask you a question. Well, you know, how does this work? Sometimes we don't know. Or you know, what's so-and-so going to do? How do I know? That's so-and-so. That never happens to you, does it? And then there are times when we try and ask, as men, try and ask our wives something, and we expect you to know the answers. We don't know them, but we expect you to. The whole Bible, especially the New Testament, it all fits together, but especially the New Testament. And so if we're going to take a New Testament passage such as 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7, we have to have a beginning place. And there is something that all of us, again, myself included, I'm actually wondering about this a little bit myself. Share that with you. But we're going to start with a verse that you all know, you've heard me use it. And it is the first verse just ahead of the Great Commission that we find written in the 28th chapter of Matthew. When Jesus said to his apostles, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And so this morning, I want you to understand that Jesus Christ, who is God, has all power. All power. We don't have any. And if we're going to get any power, we're going to have to go to Him to get it. And He is not stingy, God. I need you to know, He is right there and He is ready to give that power that you and I need to accomplish the things He wants us to accomplish. He's there. He's going to keep His promises. And in these two verses we just looked at ahead of our memory verses, He said that according to His divine power, He hath given to us all things. And folks, tonight, this morning, we're going to take a next step toward the goals that He has for every one of us. And as we attempt to achieve those goals, we are going to see God, not us, God working in our lives to make us like Jesus. I know me, I'm a long ways from being like Jesus. And I would imagine some of you are thinking the same thing. But God has said we are to be like Jesus, and so He's going to make that possible. He is going to make that possible if we're willing to try. We seem to struggle with challenges that life throws our way, and we can't seem to get a handle on where life is sometimes taking us. We just can't. We wonder what God is attempting to do in our lives. We wonder why He's attempting to do this. And yet all the time, God has provided a way. A way for you, a way for me. A way for everyone seated here under the sound of my voice this morning to do what He has asked us to do. Now, this church has done a lot in the last 4 years. We've done a lot together. But folks, we haven't even started yet. God wants to do so much more. And if we will let Him do so much more, you will see results like you can't believe. We learn many times about the Bible. You have. Most of you can quote many passages. It's the application that we seem to have problems with. And so that is what we have to get worked out. But we can't work it out. We don't have the power. But I know who does. And I know He's real. And I know that He has said He wants to give us that power, and He wants to accomplish in us what He says. He has given to us promises, not just mundane promises, but exceeding great and precious promises. And that's what we're going to collect on, folks, over the next few weeks. We're going to try and do what He says, and then we're going to look to Him and say, okay, God, I can't do it. You're going to have to do it. I really am a little excited about this because I see a potential here for some just fantastic changes in all of our lives. In fact, I think you're going to have people asking you the question, and if you're as successful as I believe you can be with the power of God doing the work, there's going to be people asking you, what's happened to you? What's going on with you? You're different. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're 5, 50, or 105. If a 96-year-old man can become a preacher without any Bible, you know, any training for that, you can become anything God wants you to be. And He wants you to be like Jesus. And that's what we're going to work on. All of us together. And if you stumble along the way and you feel like I can't do this, we're going to share with each other. We're going to do this sort of arm in arm. We're going to lock arms and we're not going to let anybody fall behind. You know, in 2 Peter 1:3, it says, according to His divine power hath given to us all things. People, you've already got the ability to do what He has asked you to do. You've already got the ability because He hath given it to you through His divine power. We just never tried to exercise it. But I'm going to ask you to exercise it over the next several weeks. And you will see it's there. Because God can't lie. And God would never ask you to do something that you couldn't do. His divine power, what does verse 3 tell us? It tells us that His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And I believe that everybody sitting here this morning is alive. Now the video, one thing I really liked about that video you saw just a few seconds of is the smile the guy gets on his face when he says, "You're gonna die." Because you know what? You are. So am I. If the Lord doesn't come back. So it comes back on all of us as to who has the ability to do what God wants you to do. And I'm the optimist in our family, and I always think, well, I think positively, and I think, well, this can be done, this can be accomplished. But you know, sometimes there's that little doubt. And some of you are going to be sitting there thinking as we get into this thing of taking the next step. And there's several steps out there, folks, ahead of us. Several. And you're going to be thinking, well, I can't do that. That's too much to ask of me. I'm me. I'm only human. Yeah. But God is asking you to do something. And we're going to try. We are going to try to do what God has said. So, every day that you and I live, since the time we were saved, we are supposed to have been growing more like Jesus Christ. And I look at my life and I think, man, that's certainly not Christ-like. My thought life is not Christ-like. My actions are not Christ-like. My expectations are not Christ-like. And yet, in my mind, I know that I am supposed to be that way. And so are you. So, together, let's head off in that direction anyway. No matter what we think, no matter what we believe, let's see if God could make us more like Jesus. Before we get into this, let's ask Him to help us. Father, we're looking at Your Word now. And Father, we're going to memorize Your Word. We're going to memorize what You said we were to do. And Father, we're going to try and do what You say. But Father, we can't do it in our own strength. In fact, many of us may have doubts as to whether it's possible. But Father, would You help us? Would You let Your power, the power that Jesus says is His, the power that the Holy Spirit has within us. Father, would You anoint us with that power? And Father, then may we be more like Jesus every day. We ask this of You, Father, not knowing how You're going to answer, but we do ask it. So Father, be with us. May Your Holy Spirit work in our hearts throughout each day that you give us life. And may your will be done in each life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So basically, the question for everyone is, does God want you to succeed or does he want you to fail? That's a pretty easy question to answer. Because we know God, all things work together for good to them who love him, to them who are called according to his purpose. We know that God wants us to succeed. So folks, I'm not going to plan to fail. And I don't want any of you to plan on failing. God does want you to succeed. And how can I be so confident about that? Well, there's some verses that every one of you know. Let's start with John 3:16 and 17. Okay? It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him," and I'm trusting that's everybody here, "shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, I don't know if you realize it or if you've even thought about this, but ever since the day you got saved, your life has been a preparation for being in heaven. Now, I'm sure, you know, that God does not want gossips up there. Or he does not want people who get angry at other people. Because, folks, you're going to be there a long time. You're going to be there for all of eternity. And he is preparing us right here on earth. And as he prepares us, we become more like Jesus. People see us and they see Jesus in us. And we're going to see some particular things about Jesus as we look at this next step that need to be a part of our lives. Verse 17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So God did not intend for any of us to fail. Not one of us. And then at the end of that chapter, there's another verse that tells us basically the same thing. It simply reinforces what he wanted. And it says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." Do you believe on the Son this morning? Because there is a consequence to not believing. And that consequence is that he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. So you see, everything is based upon what you do with Jesus. You reject him and you fail. You accept him and you receive eternal life, which is every soul's ticket to heaven. So, let me ask a question this morning. Why are you here? Why are you here? Why are you here? Isn't it to prepare yourself for heaven? Isn't that why you're here? I'm sort of planning on being there one day. I think most of you are doing the same. And I'm so glad my wife is going with me. She's too nice not to go along. But she's also received Jesus Christ as her Savior. And I talk about this because We have to have a starting place. We've come many steps, and you know, as I walk across this platform, I'm taking steps. And all of us have taken many steps together to get to this place in time this morning. But there's still, if I'm going to go from here to there, or I'm going to go from here to there, and you're going to do the same thing, there are still more steps to take. And that's why I'm calling this thing the next step. Because we are going together this morning, take the next step or start to take it. It's not complete. And it won't be complete immediately, but we're going to work on it together. And we're going to let God furnish the power. Not one of you has to expend any energy. All you have to do is give Him your heart. That's all He wants. He just wants your heart. And if you will give Him your heart, He will give you the energy for the next step and the step after that and the step after that. First John 3, 1 through 3 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is, and every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure." Folks, we are starting a journey this morning. We are starting a journey toward purity. Because that's what Jesus is. We're not there. Most of us are a long ways from there. But we can get there one step at a time by taking the next step. Every day, we should be more like Him. Peter tells us how to accomplish that in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7, and that's the route we're going to take. That's the path that we're going to take. And if it is your desire to be like Jesus, then you can take that journey with us. I can't imagine someone not wanting to be like Jesus. If you love somebody, you want to be with them. If you love somebody, you want to emulate them. And so this morning, if you love Jesus, you want to be with Him and like Him. And you know what? You can be. You can be. So we need a place to start. And the place we're going to start this morning is we're going to start with your and my faith. That's how you got saved in the first place. You got saved by believing that Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, never sinned. For that, He was nailed to a cross. For that, He shed His blood to cover every one of your sins. All those that are in the past, they're covered by the blood of Christ. Those in the future are covered, but we should not want there to be any in the future. And again, we come to this thing, well, I'm only human. Boy, the devil gave us a good lie on that one, and many of us have bought into that. That we cannot be like Jesus. That's wrong. God would not lie to us. He would not ask us to be like Jesus if we could not be. In my life, I've met a lot of Christians, so have you. And there are, I'm sure that somewhere in the archives of your mind, you have met a Christian that you could not imagine would ever sin. Maybe it was a teacher in school. Maybe it was a pastor in the church or a Sunday school teacher in the church. But you just cannot in your mind ever imagine they're sinning. And yet, we do sin. All of us do. But we don't have to. And we can actually resent sin. We can actually become very unhappy with our adversary, the devil. So we're going to start in our place with faith. Now, folks, if you have a 12 o'clock lunch appointment, you're going to be late. Because we cannot do this based on time. We have to do this based on the Holy Spirit and His working in our hearts. So we're gonna go with 2 Peter 1:5, the first part of it. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now, what does he mean by giving all diligence? Well, diligence is a rapid response. It is not hesitating. And I hope no one hesitates this morning to go along with this. But we're willing to take that first step. And we are willing to where we are at right now this morning. In our faith, we are willing to add virtue. Now that word virtue appears 5 times in the Bible. Actually 6, but 5 verses. And that word virtue can be used of Jesus. In fact, it is used of Jesus. And let me share a couple of the things with you for just a few moments. Like I said, it may take a little longer in the next few Sunday mornings. But they're not going to run out of food out there, okay? But the first time that we see that is in Matthew 5, 24 through 34. And let me just read that. Matthew 5, 24 through 34. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Sort of sounds familiar to some of us, I'm sure. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately in himself knew that virtue had gone out of him. Turned about him in the press and said, who touched my clothes? You see, virtue went out of him. And it accomplished what faith had already started in this woman. Jesus asked, who touched me? And as a disciple, you know the story. He said, well, you're in the middle of a crowd. There's a lot of people touching you. So let's look at another one. Luke 6, 17 through 19. And he came down with them and stood in the plain and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem from the seacoast to Tyre and Sidon, which came near to him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for they went virtue out of him and healed them all. That's Luke 6, 17 through 19. Virtue. In Luke 8, 43 through 48 is the story of the woman again that I just read you out of Matthew. So, here's the bottom line. If we add to our faith virtue, like Jesus, it's going to change circumstances in the lives of the people around us. And so that is our next step. We are going to trust God to create in us, and it doesn't happen overnight, folks. It's going to take weeks. As we, in sequence, add things to our faith. And they have to be added in the sequence that Peter gives us. So I've actually got probably another hour's worth of material here, but I won't do that to you. Now you've been sitting here, you've heard what I'm talking about. I'm talking about adding to your faith, to your salvation, virtue. Now, you can't do that. God has to do it for you. I have to ask this question this morning. And you are going to have to answer this question this morning. Are you willing to let God add virtue to your life? Are you willing to take this next step? And if you are, I would like to pray over all of those committing us to God's will and to the power of God. And if you are willing, I would like you to meet me here at the front right now. It's a big step for all of us. I want to pray a prayer of commitment over all of us who are willing to do this, who are willing to take this step of letting God take control of our lives and instill in us the virtue of Jesus Christ. Others are coming in just one moment. We are doing this as a body of believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, but we are committing ourselves to God this morning. And we are going to let Him do this for us. One more. I appreciate what you're willing to do this morning, because this is what God said we need to do. Let's pray. Father, you see each soul here this morning. You know it is our heart's desire to be like Jesus And Father, you know we don't know how to be like Jesus because we don't have the virtue that Jesus had. But you have commanded us to add to our faith virtue. And so, Father, we plead with you this morning, everyone gathered here, that you will pour out your Holy Spirit into our lives in a way he's never been able to work, and that you will instill in each of our lives virtue, the virtue of Jesus Christ. Father, not for our glory, but for his glory. Not for our purpose, but for your purpose. And Father, we ask and we plead that the virtue you pour into our lives will affect the people around us for the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Father. We're going to surrender to your power. We're going to surrender to your Holy Spirit. And Father, we can't do it, but you've promised all power. And so, Father, we commit ourselves under your power to accomplish in us your will, your desire. And Father, may your will be done in each life. And Father, we will praise you and glorify you for what you do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for this commitment this morning. Okay, you can return to your seats and we'll go ahead and close. We're already late. Tim, if you want to come. And we appreciate so much. And folks, if you have a problem and you need some help, you need a brother or sister to come alongside because you're experiencing a difficulty of some kind, we're here. We're here. Tim, if you'll lead us in our closing song, it's what we want to happen. It's what I want to happen to me. And I want it to happen to each one of you. Set my soul on fire.